Well, it certainly is a blessing tonight to be back. Continuation of these revival services. I like what you have above the doors out there. It's a great verse. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Thankful tonight to be here and to have this opportunity once again to worship with you folks here at Victory and to try to serve the Lord tonight. Try to share with you the things that God has placed upon my heart. As always, I realize my weakness. I know that I can't do anything without the Lord, and so I ask for your prayers. I ask you to pray that God will help me tonight to discharge my duty before Him. I have somewhat of a lengthy scripture reading tonight, so I'll ask you to bear with me. And if you would like to read along, I'm going to ask if you would to turn to the third chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, and I would like to begin reading at the beginning of that chapter and read through about the first 19 verses. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And again, that's the reading through the first 19 verses of Genesis chapter 3 for a scripture reading. And I want to, I really struggled. I wanted to use a title tonight to try to set forth the thoughts that God has placed upon my heart, and I really struggled how to do that. But I think I would like to just use this for a title. There are two voices speaking. There are two voices speaking. And we read in this, in these verses that I read, in verse 8, it tells us plainly that after that they had done this, that they heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God communicated with them. God spoke to them. God speaks to His creation. He did it then. He does it now. And I'm thankful that He does. But the problem here was that God was not the only one that was speaking to them. We also read here how that the serpent had come and he had spoken to the woman. And I want to say some things concerning God and the devil, and that's who the serpent is having reference to here, the devil. And God and the devil are just as opposite can be. Whatever God says, the devil will say just the opposite. God is a God of truth. God doesn't tell anything but the truth. In fact, if you look in the first chapter of the writing, Paul's writing to Titus, in the second verse of that chapter, Paul referenced God, made reference to God as being a God who cannot lie. He is a God of truth. I spoke the other night, I believe perhaps Sunday night, about what we read in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so whatever God says is truth. The devil is just the opposite of that. Everything that he says is a lie. Everything. He never tells the truth. And we have proof of that from something that Jesus said, and we find recorded in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John in verse 44. Jesus was addressing a group of unbelieving Jews, and he said this to them concerning the devil. He said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And, you know, I've heard, and I'm certainly not trying to dispute what anybody says, but I've heard this put this way. I've heard people say that when the devil spoke to Eve, that he told her half a truth. No, he told her a lie. He lied to her. That's all that he does is lie. Everything that comes forth from him is a lie, because Jesus said there is no truth in him. And so I want you to think about this. And listen, it's really important because both God and the devil are going to speak to you. And listen, I'm going to say this, that if you will listen to the voice of God, when God speaks to you, He'll speak to your heart. And if you will listen to the voice of God, and if you will obey His voice, you will come out better for doing that every single time. I mean, every time that you will listen to God and obey what He tells you, you will always benefit from it. But listen, every time that you listen to the devil, every time that you obey what the devil tells you, you're going to suffer for that every single time. You will never be bettered by listening to the devil any time, under any circumstances, in all situations. You will never benefit by listening to the devil. Nobody has ever listened to him and obeyed his evil voice and come out the better for it. And we have this example here that I have read before you in the third chapter of Genesis. We were reading here about the first two people on earth. We were reading about Adam that God had created from the dust of the ground and had breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and made him to become a living soul. And then so that he might have a suitable companion, he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took from him a rib and he made the woman and brought her unto the man, and she was a suitable companion for him. And I'm going to say this, that that's still true today. The only suitable companion for man today is still a woman. It's still the way that God always made it. And so God was had created Adam, and he was providing for him, and God demanded of him strict obedience. And you know, God still does that today. He still demands obedience of his creation today. And, you know, God had given them a law, one law. He had told them, God had provided for them everything that they needed to sustain their lives from day to day. He had made for them a beautiful place and had given them wonderful provisions. And he told them, there is one thing that you are not allowed to do. You are not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the day that you do, you are going to die. You are going to surely die. And God was telling them the truth. He was not lying to them. God was telling them the truth. But here the devil comes along, and he talks to the woman. He didn't come to Adam. He came to the woman, and he essentially told her that God had lied to them. Did God tell you that if you were to eat of the tree, of this one tree of the garden, that you would surely die? And she acknowledged that God had said that, and he said, well, you'll not surely die. You'll not surely die. There's another reason that God told you that. Listen, the Bible tells us here in these verses that the serpent, the devil, was very subtle. That is, he was very sly, very cunning, more than any of the other creatures that were there. And listen, we need to understand that still today, that the devil is very cunning, and he's very sly, and he knows our weaknesses. He knows where to try to attack us, just like he did with Adam. The Apostle Peter warned about him in his writings in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Apostle Paul warned about the devil when he wrote to the church at Ephesus in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. He wrote to them and he said, you better put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You better have that shield of faith. You better have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You better have all of this armor on. And even when you've got the armor on, you better pray with all supplication in the Spirit that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. I'm telling you that he is ultimate evil. There's nothing good about him whatsoever. God seeks to give life. Did you know that if you're here tonight and you're lost, that God wants to give you eternal life? He wants to save you. I spoke about the verse the other night there from 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Apostle Peter wrote about the second coming of Christ. And he said, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise. He's going to come. We don't know when, but He's going to come. He's going to keep His promise to return. But He's long-suffering towards the human family. He's long-suffering to usward because it's not His will. He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Listen, God doesn't want anybody to die lost and separated from Him. God, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul wrote and said, God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's His desire towards you. That's God's will towards you tonight. God wants to save you. He wants to give you peace within. He wants to give you the greatest gift that man has ever known. He wants to give you a home in heaven when this life is over. He wants to shed His love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. God wants to save you tonight, friends. But listen, the devil doesn't want anybody to be saved. The devil wants everybody to push God away until they die lost and in their sins. God is a God of love. He's a God of love. He loves all of us. Lost friend, listen, He loves you tonight. He loves you to this extent. He so loved you that He gave the very best He had. He so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son to make a way for us to be saved, to make a way for us to find our way back to fellowship and relationship with God. That's the love that God has for fallen man. He loves you, and He wants to save you. I'm telling you, the devil has no love for anybody. There are people that are foolish enough in this world to even worship Him. I'm telling you, He don't love them either. He doesn't love anybody. He has no love for anybody whatsoever. He is filled with evil. That's all that He is. God seeks to give life. The devil seeks to destroy. You know, I wonder sometimes, I think about this, even those of us who have been saved, even those of us as God's people, I wonder how many ways the devil is affecting our lives ways that we haven't even really picked up on yet, ways that we perhaps haven't even been spiritual enough yet to see what the devil is doing, to see the evil influence that he's having upon our life. Listen, the Bible tells us in the fourth chapter of the gospel, according to Matthew, it tells us about a time that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and He was hungry, and the devil came to Him to tempt Him, and He did just that. And let me tell you something, if He wasn't afraid to take Jesus on, you can rest assured He's not afraid to come and try to take you and I on. And He tried to tempt Jesus even with the temporal pleasures of this world, but the Lord always had an answer for Him, didn't He? He always had an answer. It's written. Can you imagine the devil telling Jesus, look at all of this temporal wealth. Look at all these worldly kingdoms. I'll give all them to you if you'll just worship Me. What did Jesus say? It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. The devil is a tempter. The Bible says in the writings of James, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, because God does not tempt any man. When we are tempted, it's when we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. God doesn't come tempting us with sin, does he? No, but I'm telling you, the devil does. The devil will try to tempt us with sin. The devil will do everything that he can possibly do. He will use every device that he can. He will use every evil influence that he can to draw people away from God. He hates God. He hates God's people. He hates God's word. He hates God's cause. He hates the gospel. He has no desire to see the advancement of the gospel whatsoever. And he will do everything that he can to fight that. And so, when the devil came to Eve, and I think that we can see somewhat in this, how cunning that he was and is. He didn't deny. He didn't go to her and try to convince her that God had never told him that. He said he just had a different reason for telling you that. You know, did God tell you that you were not to eat of every tree of the garden? Well, the reason that he did that, it's not because you're going to die. It's because he knows that if you do that, your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods and you know good and evil. And listen, he made that fruit look good to her eyes, didn't he? And listen, you know, sometimes the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he called the devil the god of this world, the god of this world, the god of this temporal mess. You know, if you look in the fourth chapter of the gospel according to Luke, when Jesus went to Nazareth and he went into that synagogue there in Nazareth, and the minister brought the book to him, and Jesus, he brought to him the writings of Isaiah, and Jesus read there from Isaiah the things that were prophesied unto him. And you know what he said? One of the things was that he had come to do, recovering of sight to the blind. And I don't know what you think about that, but as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't just talking about restoring people to their physical sight either. He was talking about the blindness that is wrought in our hearts by sin. Jesus had come to recover them. But you think about what Paul said about the god of this world. He talked about the devil as the god of this world. He said, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them, not recovered their blindness, but blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want the gospel to get to you. Listen, if you are listening to the voice of the devil, he has blinded you. He has blinded you to reality. The truth is, friend, you're lost. You're separated from God. If you're lost, you're separated from God and you're on your way to eternal ruin. That's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the truth of the word of God. But let me tell you something. The devil does not want you to believe that. You know what God will do? God will tear you down so that he can lift you up. One of the things that David said in the 116th Psalm, when he was talking about how when he said, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I was brought low. God convicts us by his Spirit of our sin, that we might see our need of him, that we might see what we really are. And I'm going to tell you something. Conviction doesn't feel good when you realize that condemnation and you feel that conviction of sin. It's not pleasant when God brings us low, is it? It doesn't feel good. But I'll tell you what, when he brings you up out of the pit, it feels good. And if God did not do that, if God did not show us that, we wouldn't come to him. I'll tell you what the devil will do. He'll do just the opposite to you. He'll try to exalt you with pride. Rather than bringing you down to lift you up, he'll try to lift you up with pride. He'll try to make you think you're something that you're not. So the end result is that he can bring destruction. He can bring destruction upon you. Listen, the Bible tells me in the 12th chapter of Revelation that he knows that he has a short time. And he's going to do everything that he can and is doing everything that he can to wreak havoc on the lives of people, to lie to people, to deceive people, to whisper in your ear and tell you these subtle little lies and try to get you to listen to him. Let me tell you something. I know what the devil will do because I experienced it in my own life. When I was in my lost condition, I know exactly what he'll do. God starts knocking on your heart and you realize that you need to be saved. You realize that there's something wrong with you. There's a void in there. You realize that you don't have what these other people are testifying about. And you begin to think about seeking the Lord, and the devil will come to you and he'll begin to talk to you with that evil voice. You know what he'll say? Not today. You don't want to do that today. He'll tell you all sorts of lies. You know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says, not in these exact words, but the Word of God tells us that if today you know you're lost, that today is the day to seek the Lord. Today, now, is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And so, you know, we don't need to listen to the devil. He lied. He lied to Eve. He lies to everybody that he talks to. It amazes me sometimes. It really does. It amazes me sometimes to even look at us as God's people and see situations and think, come on, can't we see that the devil is all over this? We're just pushing ahead with our own thoughts and our own ideas. Can't we see what the devil is doing here? Sowing discord, bringing division, everything that he can to disrupt the things of the Lord. I'm telling you, friends, there are evil forces at work. Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against these spiritual evil powers, and they are very real. They're very, very real. And listen, we can see here how that God had indeed told them the truth. Because when they transgressed His law, suddenly there was a change that took place in them. You know, they had not been afraid of the voice of God before. Adam had heard the voice of the Lord before. And the Bible doesn't tell us that he was ever afraid when he heard the voice of God. But we can see that a great change had taken place because they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said, I was afraid and I hid myself. He knew that something had taken, something had changed. He knew that he was naked. And I'm persuaded to believe that when God called unto Adam and said, where are you? That he was asking him to account for more than just his geographical presence. Where do you stand with me now, Adam? What has happened to you? God knew he was there among those trees. He didn't have to find that out, did he? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, Paul wrote about this years later. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam and Eve were in a virtual paradise. It was beautiful there, and there wasn't a thing wrong with it. It had been made by the very hands of God, and it was perfect. There was no sin there. There was nothing there to harm. There was nothing there to separate. There was nothing there to ever bring about pain or death or sorrow or any of the things that we experience today until the devil came along. Boy, the world changed. The world changed big time when they listened to the devil. Your life. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. You know, listen, the devil will try to distract you. Remember, he's the God of this world. He'll try his best to distract you with all the temporal pleasures of this life, to keep you away from the spiritual blessings of God. And sadly enough, he's doing that. He's doing a pretty good job of that with God's own people, as far as I'm concerned. You know, distracting our minds, getting our minds up on sports and all these things that we, you know, people tend to put so much time in and even lay the things of God aside to go play. God's not pleased with that. The devil is. I'll tell you what, the devil loves empty pews. He loves it. Anything he can do to distract us from the things of the Lord. Listen, we're going to have a song. Listen, lost friend. Be sure of this. Know that it's true. The devil is going to try everything he can to persuade you not to turn to the Lord for the salvation of your soul. He will try every distraction and tell you every lie that he can. He's lying to you. You need the Lord. He lied to Eve. If you go on and read the scriptures, you'll find out that they died. Just like God said, they died spiritually right then. They became separated from Him right then. Later on, because of sin, they faced natural death because of the transgression of God's law. Listen, God has given a law to all of us. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And if you don't do it, you're going to end up in hell. You're going to end up in that place where the devil is going to be for all eternity. He's lying to you. You need Jesus. You need Him. And when He moves upon your heart to come to Him, come to Him. Come to Him. Obey His command to repent. God will do you good. He'll do you good. He'll give you eternal life if you will obey His commandments. If you'll repent, if you'll trust in Jesus, He will save you. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll be to you a friend like no other friend. While we sing, won't you listen to the Lord and obey His voice?